Our next speaker is Mayor of Chicago. There are a few things I would like to share with you. The City Club is enormously grateful to him and his wife, Amy, for both visiting and speaking at Misericordia and encouraging everyone in the spirit of the City Club of Chicago to give back in the same measure they have received. Not only Misericordia, but Special Olympics, as Skinny mentioned. The City Club is also very thankful to Mayor Emanuel for joining us at the Special Olympics Chicago Polar Plunge and helping raise millions for children and adults with special needs. And Skinny mentioned the breakfast on the 29th right here. Mayor Emanuel's frequent attendance, like today, at City Club of Chicago events and encouraging his leadership team and commissioners to speak is deeply appreciated. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Mayor?
Thank you, Jay. Thanks, everybody, for being here. It's good to see everyone. I will tell you, it's hard to be a Chicagoan fan. I never knew I could hold my breath for nine innings. It's a new, incredible depth. But if it hasn't been said, go Cubs. We're on our way to Cleveland. And Cleveland, we got something coming for you. Dorval and I actually rode over. It's the 425th of the newest series of buses, and it's decked out, if you haven't seen it, in Cubs wraparound for the whole effort. And it can actually fit, you know, our entire pitching staff in there, plus anybody else and all their equipment. Let me also say, I know this is an introduction to Dorval. I have come here to introduce each of my cabinet members over the years. But this is the first time for me as mayor to do that introduction without Paul Green here. And I want to say, I know that you at the City Club have honored him in many different ways. He and I would work out together in the morning, or let me say I would work out and he would steal my paper. But every morning I would start with a quip, an insight, an observation, or just good, honest Jewish sarcasm from Paul. And he will be sorely missed, but never forgotten. And I want to thank the City Club also for honoring him. I'm here. I'm about to introduce Dorval, but I also want to note that Ginger Evans, the head of our aviation system, is also here. Rebecca Scheinfeld from the Department of Transportation. I don't think I've missed any other cabinet members, but I do think that it's a symbol that they're here, and it's for the great company, so don't get me wrong about that, or the food, but it's more importantly because we have an integrated approach in our office. Representative Sims is here, so thank you, LG, for being here. We have an integrated approach to transportation. Usually things are done in silos, and that's not true. At least in my administration, both whether it's on the roads, rail, or runway, we want to make sure we have an integrated approach to how we deal with transportation. You can't have a 21st century economy running on a 20th century foundation. And both from our roads perspectives, from our bike lanes perspective, from our rail perspective, our bus perspective, and our aviation system, we want to have a 21st century system so we can compete and win. Chicago, because of its location, because of unique historical investments, is a leader in transportation. We have the second, on a public transportation, we have the second largest system in the United States. More people, I do it twice a week, take our public transportation, CTA, in a single month than take all of Amtrak all year nationwide. To give you a perspective. So it's not just a simple, it is a simple system. When you get on, that's what you want. I take it from home to work, 32 minutes. And when it's 34, Dorval hears from me. It's that special phone call that he loves so much. But from your train, this is a new system with new stations. And he'll talk to you about the investments we're making going forward. But by the end of 2019, every rail car and every bus will be totally new or totally rehabbed. So the experience will be quiet, reliable, and efficient. CTA was the first system to put a 4G on the system anywhere in the United States. As I note, the truth is your employer doesn't want you starting work when you show up at work, but on your way to work. The employees are going to hate it. The employers are going to love it. That's a joke. Lighten up, guys. Wow. Well, a lot of fans slept late in, man. But you can see that constantly. And what I'm also excited is last week we announced a new partnership between the Chicago Public Libraries and CTA. We're going to sponsor short story writers from Chicago. So you can download specifically a writer, a poem, a short story from a Chicago writer as one of a new version of our One Book, One Chicago. And it's again, another version of where I want people not just thinking about their individual lane, but across lanes, because people don't live their lives in silos. And so from new stations, new buses, new trains, 4G, new rail system, Dorval and his team is building a 21st century public transportation system, one that is reliable, safe, efficient, and quiet, that allows you to get from home to work or from neighborhood to neighborhood. And as somebody who relies on it myself, it runs extremely well, and his investments prove that we can have a 21st century economy with a 21st century transportation system. And I note sometimes when we were building, one of our big projects will be for the Red Line modernization from point A to point B. Some of the stations in the rail was built when Roosevelt was president. Teddy Roosevelt, the Rough Rider. Now, let me say this. It was also the last time the Cubs have run the World Series. And if we think the Cubs are due for a World Series championship, I think we can deserve on parts of our system. At 107 years, we can say we've gotten good use out of it, okay? It's time for a little investment. Or maybe the other perspective, it's like a good wine. It's ready to cork at this point. So at every level, from the new blue to the new red to the investments through the system, Dorval has brought an energy building on the foundation that Forrest has to make sure that the modernization investments we've made serve all parts of the city and every neighborhood and community. So people, regardless of where they live, can get to their job efficiently and not try to shortchange their kids, meaning they have to run out of the door earlier because they don't have a reliable system. And we all know as parents, those extra minutes count with your children, and every minute counts to be with them and make them totally crazy in their lives. I am proud also of one other thing. He had a tremendous career in the Department of Transportation, a tremendous career here in the CTA before he left. His decision for he and his wife to come back home is a testament to their commitment, not just to public service, but to the city of Chicago. And we are the beneficiaries of that spirit of public service and his commitment to take the CTA to the next step and the next level as all of us continue to build this great city. With that, Dorval Carter.
Thank you, everybody. Before I get started, let me just make one comment about our mayor. I've had the opportunity. I've had the opportunity to work for a few mayors. I've also had the opportunity, obviously, to meet and interact with a large number of mayors, governors, and other elected officials throughout the country. And I have to tell you that I have not met any one individual who has been as committed to transit and to transportation as the mayor we have here in the city of Chicago. We should be all very happy to have someone like that leading us here. So. So let me get started. Thank you all again for having me here. It's been just about a year since the last time I was able to meet with all of you and talk about CTA. I want to take a moment here to acknowledge a few people that are in the audience today that certainly are a big part of my success in allowing me to do the things that I do on behalf of the CTA. That includes Chairman Terry Peterson, Director Sin and Alva Rosales, and Director Miller, all of whom are here today and all of whom are a part of what I believe is one of the best boards I could ever have to support CTA in terms of the activities that we're pursuing and the opportunities that we're trying to create for the city. So I want to thank them for being here. I really do appreciate that. I also want to take a second to acknowledge a few other people who are here that actually help in tremendous ways to allow not only CTA to be successful, but the city as a whole in terms of its transit network and its transit opportunities. And that would include Kirk Dillard, who's around somewhere, I believe. Ah, there you are, Kirk. The chairman of the RTA, Leanne Redden, the executive director of the RTA, and Don Orsino, who is the CEO of Metra. I can tell you, given the long history that I have with transit in the city, that there was a point in time when the relationships between RTA, Metra, and PACE were not very good. And I'm probably being diplomatic when I say that. But I can also tell you that under the leadership of RTA today and the leadership of Metra and PACE, we have a working relationship now that really allows us to get things done. And I think at the end of the day, that's what all the people in this region want from transit. They want us to get things done. They don't appreciate when we're bickering and fighting about things that don't matter to them. So I appreciate their support. They have been very helpful for me in dealing with a lot of the issues that we're facing here in Chicago and the CTA, and I want to thank them for being here today. I also want to take a brief second to acknowledge all my expats from the Department of Transportation who also happen to be here. There's been this migration to Washington, D.C. when we all joined the Obama administration. Interestingly enough, that migration is now starting to come back to Chicago, and I think the city is going to be a beneficiary, a huge beneficiary of the talent and the experience that we're bringing back to the city as we continue to make the city better as a whole. And in particular, I want to acknowledge Joe Szabo, the head of CMAP, who's here, and his team, many of whom I know and worked with very closely when I was at DOT, and I appreciate their being here with me today. As I indicated, a little more than a year ago, about 4 months after the mayor had asked me to become CTA president, I'm glad to be back here again. I'm here to talk to you about the CTA, the accomplishments we've achieved, the hurdles we've overcome, and the challenges that still lay ahead. But I want to start out by talking about a big milestone that we're approaching. Next year, the CTA will mark its 70th anniversary as an agency. Created by the General Assembly and ratified by Chicago voters via a referendum in 1945 before it officially launched in 1947. Next year will also mark another milestone, 125 years since the beginning of rail service in Chicago by the predecessor railroad companies to the CTA. We're looking forward to celebrating these special milestone years with our customers, and we're planning a number of special events for next year to honor this momentous event. As you can imagine, a lot has changed since 1947. CTA has grown to be the second largest transit agency in the country. On an average weekday, CTA now moves the equivalent of the population of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, about 1.6 million rides. To put that in perspective, CTA buses every day travel nearly 160,000 miles, and our trains make more than 2,200 trips, nearly equal the daily average number of the flights into and out of O'Hare International Airport. Considering the size and scale of the CTA, it is without question the CTA is the critical connector of people, jobs, and communities in the Chicago area. And investments in the CTA are also investments in the community CTA serves. Less than halfway through our major Wilson Station reconstruction project, there has been substantial new private development activity in the surrounding uptown area, reinforcing the idea that transit can serve as an anchor to communities. And transit is not only good for real estate, it's good for businesses. Over the past several years, major companies have returned to urban centers in order to be more connected physically and culturally, which highlights the value of a strong public transportation system. In Chicago, Major companies have announced plans to locate in downtown or near downtown, including Google, GE Transportation, McDonald's, Wilson Sporting Goods, and others, incentivized in part by Chicago's strong transportation network. Under Mayor Emanuel's leadership, we have made tremendous progress in the midst of what is the largest capital investment in program in CTA's history, a more than $5 billion program that began in 2011 across CTA's massive transit networks, spanning Chicago and 35 neighboring suburbs. Since 2011, we've opened 3 new rail stations and more than 70 track miles of rail have been repaired. More than 40 of our 145 rail stations have or will receive major improvements, nearly one-third of all CTA rail stations. And by the end of the mayor's second term, nearly our entire bus and rail fleet will be modernized with either new or rehab vehicles. And we're also leveraging technology to improve customer convenience on multiple levels, from before they even leave the house to after they finish their trip at CTA. As important as it is to continue modernizing and improving our transit system, it is also very important that each and every rider be able to access it. That's why earlier this year we announced that we would create a CTA All Stations Accessibility Program. This comprehensive plan will develop station concepts and cost estimates to achieve 100% wheelchair accessibility across our entire rail system in the next 20 years. We have worked closely with the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities and accessibility rights organizations like Access Living, as well as CTA's ADA Advisory Committee on this important issue. We have made a lot of progress since the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990. Back then, only 9% of our rail stations were accessible to customers with disabilities. Today, nearly 70% of our 145 rail stations are accessible, with more station improvements either underway or starting soon. What's more, all of CTA's trains and buses are accessible to people who use wheelchairs and other mobility devices. We also continue to make progress this past year on major infrastructure projects to modernize the CTA for the 21st century. That's no small challenge considering some of our system dates back to the late 1800s when Grover Cleveland was president, not just Teddy Roosevelt. But we relish a good challenge. Under Mayor Emanuel's direction, we're investing like never before to not only bring the system to a state of good repair, but also make sure CTA can meet the demands of ridership for decades to come. Last year, I told you about several major projects, some of the largest in our agency's history, that were underway. Today, I'd like to provide you with an update on those projects, as well as tell you about some more to come. If you ride CTA or have been following along the last 5 years, you probably heard a lot about the modernization of the Red Line. It's our busiest rail line and the backbone of the rail system. It runs 24/7, 365 days a year, and provided 78 million rides last year. 4 years ago, the mayor announced our Red Ahead program, which included a number of improvements to modernize the Red Line, some of which are completed, with many more projects underway or to come. 3 years ago, we fully rebuilt the 10-mile Red Line South Branch, completing the project in just 5 months and shaving 20 minutes off a round-trip commute. We have followed that project with the one that you see here, the construction of the new 95th Street Terminal at the south end of the Red Line. Since I told you about this project a year ago, we have announced final designs for the terminal, which includes the bold use of the color red, representing the rail line it anchors, as well as an airy and modern design. With this $280 million signature project, we are replacing a nearly 50-year-old bus and rail facility that serves more than 20,000 people a day with a new terminal that will efficiently and safely serve our customers when it's completed in 2018. The new terminal will also serve as an economic anchor for the local community. In just about a year from now, CTA customers and residents of the Uptown community will be able to enjoy one of our largest projects ever, the brand new Wilson Station that will serve as a new transfer point between the Red and Purple Express lines. This project includes building a new, fully accessible station house with elevators, plus the rebuilding and relocation of about a mile of adjacent elevated track structure to remove rail columns from the street and sidewalk that will create a more pleasant neighborhood and traffic environment at Broadway and Wilson. We are already more than 50% complete with this $203 million reconstruction project, and our customers are already experiencing the difference. At the top of the slide on the screen, you will see the old platform, which we recently demolished, and below that, you can see one of the two new platforms that customers are now using. In fact, it is the widest platform on CTA, offering passengers plenty of room to move around and to board trains. And judging by the development that has been announced or occurred since we broke ground, the station is already showing that it will serve as a strong community anchor and will stimulate new economic development. Next year, we'll open the new state-of-the-art Washington Wabash station that will provide a new transit gateway to Millennium Park in the Loop. This project is being built by our partners at CDOT. CDOT Commissioner Rebecca Sheinfeld is with us today, and I would like to specifically thank her and her departments for their support of CTA. As the mayor indicated, he has built a very strong transportation team, and he does not expect that we will operate in silos. And I'm about to walk you through a number of the projects that we're working on that are certainly an example of the mayor's holistic approach to transportation improvements in the city. This project in particular will combine the nearby century-old stations on Wabash at Randolph and formerly at Madison to make one new, fully accessible station. We also continue to make progress on the historic Your New Blue program, a $492 million investment in the O'Hara branch of the Blue Line that connects the city to one of our nation's largest airports. This year, we have focused on five stations on the branch that includes station house renewal work, platform improvements, security, and more, including the installation of an elevator at the Addison station to make it accessible to those who use wheelchairs or mobility devices. Future projects will include more station rehabilitations and additional signal and power work to help improve comfort and speed of service along the CTA's second busiest rail line. In late 2015, CDOT turned over to CTA the city's newest BRT project, Loop Link, which will improve bus service on some of the downtown Chicago's busiest streets. Loop Link includes designated bus lanes, raised station platforms to provide easier boarding, early signal systems for buses at key intersections to get ahead of traffic, bus tracker screens, and ample seating and public art for the waiting customers. Loop Link has already made commuting better by providing faster, more reliable bus travel times and an improved customer experience. We're continuing to build on that success. Last month, we began a pilot at the Loop Link bus station on Madison and Dearborn to allow customers to prepay their fares ahead of boarding buses to also speed up their boarding. Continuing the efforts of Loop Link to improve bus service downtown, CDOT just recently completed the Union Station Transit Center in August. This new off-street bus boarding center just south of Union Station improves customer safety and convenience around a station that serves 120,000 people every day. It improved traffic flow by better organizing bus, private vehicle, and taxi traffic, reducing some of the congestion in that area. And it provided an off-street underground pedway to Union Station to ease connections between CTA buses and Metro and Amtrak trains. If you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to take a look. The architecturally appealing station is a great example of form meeting function, and we're all very proud of it. 2 weeks ago, the mayor and I announced a new project that, like all the projects I've just mentioned, aims to not only improve the CTA, but also highlight and celebrate the surrounding community. The new gateway project at Belmont Blue Line really emphasizes something that I mentioned earlier. CTA stations are anchors for many communities, serving not only the distinct visual landmarks, but also as the epicenter for business and activity. And I think it's safe to say that this particular design certainly is making a statement, and I certainly thank Carol Ross Barney and her firm for coming up with the architectural concept that not only CTA is excited about, but also the community as well. This particular project in the Avondale neighborhood will enhance the street-level entrance to the Belmont subway station and will improve the bus arrival departure areas to speed bus boarding and provide a safer, more comfortable environment for pedestrians. We anticipate beginning construction next year with completion estimated in the second half of 2018. Looking to the future, Next year, CTA will move forward with one of its most ambitious projects ever, the Red Purple Modernization Project, or RPM for short. This is a multi-phase program to completely rebuild the northern sections of the Red and Purple Lines north of Belmont. This is a transformative project for the CTA that will benefit generations of riders to come. By rebuilding the entire 10-mile rail line from top to bottom and reconstructing 21 stations. Phase one of this project will include rebuilding four of those stations and creating a bypass to replace a rail junction that is regularly clogged with congestion between Red, Purple, and Brown Line trains near the Belmont Station. That junction, by the way, was built in 1907, which, as I'm sure all of you know, was just 1 year before the Cubs won their last World Series. At the height of the morning rush, we're simply unable to add more trains to this junction, which has created chronic overcrowding that forces some customers to wait for multiple trains before being able to board a bus. The first phase of work will allow us to serve an additional 7,200 passengers per hour and meet demand in a region that's expected to grow substantially in population based on estimates from the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. I'll talk more in a minute about the innovative financing, which includes creating a transit TIF to generate funds for the project, a new tool provided to us by the Illinois General Assembly last summer. We're hopeful that we will be able to begin preliminary construction work for this project by the end of next year. We also continue our planning work on another major Red Line project, extending the Red Line from 95th Street to 130th Street. This is a priority project for both the mayor and the CTA. And if any of you had a chance to read the Chicago Tribune story this morning, I think you understand why. This concept has been discussed for a long time, and I'm proud that we're making real progress toward making this project a reality. And thanks to the help from Springfield, a transit TIF is also a possible financial tool for this project, which gives us more financing options to make this project a reality. The Red Line Extension Project will bring rail service to many communities on the far south side, improving mobility and access to jobs and focusing on economic development. The Red Line Extension would be the CTA's first new rail line since the Orange Line, which was built 23 years ago in 1993, and will add four new rail stations on the far south side. Right now, we are actively seeking feedback on two proposed options for the project by holding multiple meetings with the communities in the project's footprint. And we look forward to announcing a preferred option next year and continuing engineering and design work on the project so we can move it closer to reality in the near future. While new and upgraded stations receive the greatest fanfare, it's the buses and rail cars that physically move our 1.6 million daily riders. We've been making unprecedented investments towards improving our bus and rail fleet as well. In fact, the average age of our rail fleet is now younger than many of our CTA peer agencies across the country. About a year ago, we received the last of the more than 700 latest generation 5000 series rail cars, which offer smoother, quieter rides, brighter lighting, and even generate power through their braking systems. We're also in the middle of a top-to-bottom overhaul of 250 of our 3200 series rail cars, which currently operate on the Orange and the Brown Line. And the mayor just reminded me of the fact that since he rides the Brown Line, he's looking forward to us replacing those rail cars as well. Our modernization efforts also include purchasing new buses. As you were coming in, you may have seen parked in front of the Maggiano's, our newest bus, which we decorated to celebrate the Cubs' historic season. It is the last of an order of 425 buses that feature a sleeker body design, bigger windows, and brighter lighting. In addition, they offer enhanced safety features, including 10 surveillance cameras per bus. We also plan to expand the number of electric buses in our fleet following a successful test of two all-electric buses. In January, the mayor and I announced that we're adding another 20 to 30 electric buses to our fleet, vehicles that will be both modern, reliable, more fuel efficient, and more environmentally friendly. The CTA also has nearly completed a major overhaul of more than 1,000 buses to make them like new again. Combined with the new buses I just mentioned, our bus fleet is now nearly 85% new or overhauled. These investments not only benefit our more than 800,000 daily bus riders, they also make financial sense for my agency. By performing these overhauls, CTA is saving $2.7 million annually on bus maintenance as a result of fewer costly repairs and the added maintenance associated with them. Recognizing the need to continue to modernize our rail fleet, earlier this year, we awarded a contract for up to 846 new rail cars, which we call the 7000 series. The exterior design features put an even more modern twist on today's rail cars. Like our 5000 series rail cars, these next generation rail cars will also feature stainless steel bodies, LED lighting and signage, as well as AC propulsion for a smoother, quieter ride. These cars will replace the oldest cars on the CTA system, some of which are more than 30 years old, and more importantly, fulfill my promise to the mayor that he can start riding on new trains. This new procurement is historic for two reasons. It is CTA's largest rail car order in this agency's history, and it is also our first use of the United States Employment Plan in a procurement. This is an innovative approach that uses public transportation funds to create good jobs in the United States. The manufacturer, CRRC Saifang America, has pledged to build a final assembly facility in Chicago that will create 169 related jobs, not including the construction jobs that will be created to build the plant. The cars are expected to go into service in 2020. Once delivery of all the new rail cars is completed, the CTA will have the youngest rail fleet in decades, reducing the average age of CTA's rail cars from 26 years in 2011 to just 13 years. Our many infrastructure projects have created thousands of good-paying construction jobs, and they've also provided many contracting opportunities for companies in and around Chicago, including minority and women-owned firms. But CTA has also worked to create new opportunities for those individuals who face additional obstacles trying to get a job, which is why we are very proud of our Second Chance program, which provides employment to nonviolent ex-offenders, victims of domestic abuse, and others facing barriers to unemployment. Under Mayor Emanuel, this program has doubled in size to become one of the largest of its kind in the country. To date, the program has served more than 600 participants working as rail and bus servicers. Many of the participants in the program have been hired by CTA for full-time work, including a few who have risen into the ranks of management. Earlier this year, the mayor and CTA announced an expansion of the program through a partnership with the City Colleges of Chicago, providing specialized training in diesel mechanics and customer service, providing yet an even wider array of skill development and career training for those individuals who are seriously looking for those opportunities. In addition to our unprecedented capital investment in stations, buses, and rail cars, we've also taken a close look at the services that we already have and incorporating new technologies and efficiencies to improve the day-to-day customer experience across the CTA. We're putting the customer first and trying to make the everyday transit experience as pleasant, quick, and convenient as possible. So how do we do this? We start by looking at service levels holistically. By collecting and analyzing data and the extensive customer feedback we receive to make significant, impactful changes to the service across the city. Over the past years, we reintroduced the X9 Action Express, the X49 Western Express, two of our busiest routes, which has led to an increase in bus travel speeds. On the south and far south sides, we expanded bus service on six routes and the two branches of the South Green Line to benefit tens of thousands of riders each day and improve connections to and from downtown. We're also in the midst of conducting two pilots to test enhanced service on the number 11 route and new service on 31st Street following discussions with local aldermen and community members. Though we place a lot of focus on big-ticket projects, it's just as important to improve the customer experience day in and day out, and that includes the physical environment. We do place a high priority on cleanliness. Buses and trains are cleaned daily, both before and after each trip, at the end of each day, and we just recently reduced the time between what we call our general cleans, which are deeper cleanings, to every other week. Why so much? Our trains and buses serve thousands of people per trip. In fact, the Blue and Red Line, which are our busiest rail lines, some trains can be in service for up to 1.5 hours per trip, during which thousands of people get on and off that train. Another way that we're working to improve the customer experience is through providing more real-time information. Already, our service alerts have become popular must-have information for customers, including service delays or reroutes that can be customized by route or rail line to be received via text or email. These complement our robust Twitter alerts that also keep customers informed. And as of this morning, we had 145,000 followers, making us the largest local government Twitter account. I should also point out that it isn't just the regular CTA customers who take advantage of the alerts. I myself signed up for CTA alerts, and I can tell you that they're very quick because in some cases, I get a CTA alert even faster than I get alerted internally from my own staff. But that's good, because I'm not the one who's going out to fix the problems, but I certainly want to know about them. Though we're one of the oldest public transit systems in the country, we often lead the way when it comes to leveraging new technologies to improve the customer experience. About a year ago, we completed the installation of full 4G wireless coverage across all of our 22 miles of subways, which our customers love. And that was done at a cost borne fully by the major wireless carriers, thanks to Mayor Emanuel's Infrastructure Trust. With this, the city of Chicago became the largest city in North America to have full 4G wireless coverage across its entire system of subway stations and tunnels. And as you heard from the mayor earlier, he has great plans on how I should basically be taking advantage of that 4G service. And you will be hearing more about the e-books and other services that will be offered as a result of the services that we can provide. Around the same time, we developed and launched a venture app with Metra and Pace that allows CTA customers to seamlessly purchase fares on all three systems. This was revolutionary for transit in Chicago. Transit customers can now quickly check balances, buy fares, use Transit Tracker for all three transit systems. About 25% of all Metra fares are now purchased on the app. And the adoption rate has been fantastic. Less than a year after our launch, more than 1 million people have downloaded the free app and used it to purchase more than $110 million in fares across the three agencies. While the app has had an immediate success, we continue to work on future enhancements to the app, including a door-to-door trip planning feature in the next few months and the ability to integrate transit planning with other shared-use transportation means. In fact, we learned recently that we have been awarded a federal grant that will enable us to incorporate the Divvy bike-sharing program into the Venture app. And we are still working towards the ability to use a phone to board trains and buses. As you can imagine, the technology is changing rapidly, and it has proven to be a little bit of a challenge for us. But we are currently in discussions with some large technology companies. I'm not allowed to name them right now, but they may or may not offer products with pay in their names. As we continue to improve stations and facilities, the mayor has also asked us to build upon our extensive collection of artwork by local, national, and international artists. Since 2011, our collection of public art has nearly doubled and currently includes more than 60 works of art across all eight of our rail lines, many by Chicago artists. At 95th Street, the CTA has tapped internationally recognized Chicago-based artist Theaster Gates to create what will be the largest public artwork in the agency's history. At Wilson, we've commissioned internationally acclaimed artist, designer, and engineer Cecil Baumann to create new artwork for permanent display in the new main station house. Earlier this year, we announced we are seeking an artist to create public artwork for a CTA bus terminal on the west side at Chicago and Austin. This will be the first time we've added art to a bus terminal. And artwork will be an important part of a large improvement project we're planning at the Garfield Station on the Green Line. We believe that art is an important part of civic life. It enhances the commuting experience and adds to the vibrancy of our communities, and we'll continue to invest in art as part of our overall infrastructure improvements. We're also taking a much closer look at how we operate on a day-to-day basis. A little more than a year ago, I began conducting what I call daily flash meetings, at which I and my management team take a look at the previous day's performance. Did we have a good day? Did we have a bad day? Why? Nearly every CTA department is represented at this meeting. Operations, maintenance, safety, security, infrastructure, service planning, customer service, the list goes on. And we cover a number of bases like how many trains and bus delays occurred, how long were those delays, how are we doing with our cleaning and maintenance schedules, how many customer inquiries did we receive, and what were the particular issues that they were calling us about. We recognize that given the immensity of the service that we provide, not everything will go 100% perfect each and every day. But that shouldn't stop us from trying to get as close to 100% as we can. As you can see, the flash report really gets into the nitty-gritty details. And that's important because all those details often add up to a bigger picture that we want to address. The cliche is, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. Well, in this case, it's true. I think the meetings really help us accomplish three things. One, it allows us to share information and ideas with the whole group so that we can all work towards a common goal. Two, it allows us to address potential issues quickly instead of letting them linger. And three, it makes us all accountable to the people who aren't in the room, which is our customers. These endeavors have paid off, and I'll give you just one example of how. Prior to starting our flash meetings, it took our facilities maintenance group an average of 9 days to complete a repair when the issue was first reported to them. Today, thanks to these discussions and during the flash meeting about how to improve, we have now reduced that number to just 3.5 days. And we'll continue to make it even lower. Of course, all these activities and initiatives require money. Just last week, we announced our proposed 2017 budget, and it contained good news for riders. The budget doesn't call for any fare increases or service cuts. It also continues the unprecedented investment we've been making to modernize and improve our system. The proposed $1.5 billion 2017 budget continues to make smart investments in the customer experience, safety and security, and workforce development to ensure that our customers are better served through this year's budget. We've been able to propose this financially responsible budget while having fares and service levels untouched because we're taking a business approach to our organization. We're using a fine-tooth comb to make sure all of our spending is necessary and justified. And equally important, we continue to take an aggressive approach to growing revenue beyond what we take in at the fare box. This means growing advertising and concession revenues and seeking new revenue opportunities, such as marketing the pre-tax transit benefit program. Our fiscal responsibility on the operating side is especially important given the landscape faced by large legacy transit agencies like Chicago's. The budget I just outlined for you is the sixth straight year of a structurally balanced budget by CTA. Significant when you think about the old days when the CTA regularly proposed so-called doomsday budgets and borrowed from capital funds to pay operating expenses. Though we've come a long way, we still face daunting challenges to meet our backlog of a state of good repair projects and other initiatives that will allow us to better serve our customers. We continue to receive from the state just a fraction of the $100 million of mandated free and reduced fare rides that we must provide annually. There has also been no state capital budget passed since 2009, which makes planning for our projects difficult because of the need to secure local matching funds for many large-scale projects. This, of course, is happening at the same time that there is increased competition for federal dollars and as more cities invest in transit, which is, of course, a great thing because they are trying to get to the level of transportation services that a city like Chicago already enjoys. So we've had to become more creative in our efforts to secure funding for these vital transit projects. Last summer, the General Assembly passed legislation that authorized the city to create tax increment financing districts for the specific CTA projects. These include the red and purple modernization projects on the north side, the red line extension on the south side. They also include the Forest Park Blue Line branch of the west side, which is more than 50 years old and also in need of a major rehabilitation, and for Union Station, the hub of downtown transportation. The legislation came at a perfect time for us as we were preparing for the first phase of RPM. The $2.1 billion first phase of RPM requires a local match to secure $1 billion of federal dollars pledged to this project, which would pay for half of the project cost. To secure the federal funding, we are currently working with the City of Chicago to establish a TIF along the red line to capture growth in property values near the project. Because there has never been a dedicated transit-only TIF in the U.S., to my knowledge, we're naturally received a lot of questions about why we took this approach. The answer is simple. As I've been talking through this entire presentation, an investment in transit is an investment in the community. And every time we've invested in transit improvements, we've seen a strong return on that investment. A good example of that is the Morgan Park Green Line station, which opened in 2012. Since then, we've seen a tremendous jump in new business licenses and building and construction permits as the West Loop has transformed. What's more, major companies including Google and McDonald's are relocating regional and corporate headquarters to the area, attracted in part by the robust transportation options the area provides. We're starting to see the same phenomenon occur in the South Loop following the 2015 opening of our newest station, Cermak McCormick Place. Gross commercial rent rates have increased 75% since we announced the project in 2012, and new construction demolition permits have jumped 82% since we broke ground in 2013. And the Brown Line Capacity Expansion Program, which rebuilt stations and was completed in 2009, has resulted in significant new development, property value appreciation, and a nearly 50% jump in ridership in 10 years. The proposed transit TIF will go before the City Council prior to the end of the year, and we're working closely with the residents and our elected officials on this important investment in Chicago. When I began talking to you today, I noted that CTA is an agency that will reach its 70th anniversary next year. Just think about how much transit and the world has changed in that time. Today, Chicagoans have more transportation options than ever, thanks to the rise of shared-use mobility. Ride-sharing, car-sharing, and bike-sharing have, in just a short period of time, made a notable impact on the local transportation ecosphere. When it comes to options, it is no longer CTA versus driving. Riders now have an array of options to meet their particular needs. So we as an agency have to adapt to the marketplace. We need to be flexible and innovative and not become a dinosaur. And we have to do it while navigating an environment where there are a great number of uncertainties. Fortunately, we have a number of things going for us. CTA has a great footprint and a brand in Chicago that would be nearly impossible to replicate. Simply put, no one can provide the depth of transportation as affordably as we do. That said, we're taking a deep dive into better understanding our customers' travel preferences so that we can make strategic decisions and investments that keep the agency responsive to our customer needs and desires while remaining on sound financial footing. From there, we can look for ways to improve service to meet customer demand and also seek partnerships and opportunities that make fiscal and strategic sense for CTA. The images behind me really highlight how much things have changed since the establishment of the CTA. Back in 1947, on day one of CTA, the main priority of those running the agency was getting customers from point A to point B as quickly as possible. That is still one of our goals today, but it's certainly not our only goal. My challenge, and indeed my privilege, is to ensure that CTA remains a vital part of Chicago and that the agency continues to adapt and flourish for many years to come. Thank you all. No, I'm good.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. We have just a couple of minutes for questions. I have one in my hand. Oh, there's one. Well, could you get John Travis' question, please? Yeah. Thank you. Did you screen this one?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Given the table it came from, I should be worried.
I am convinced that now, for Stella and Mr. Riley and those of us who may be baseball fans of some other team, though we really love the Cubs, that everything really revolves around the Cubs in Chicago. I'm convinced now. When the head of CTA quotes time frames that revolve around the last championship, that's saying something about the Cubs, right? So the first question is about bus bunching. It seems to be a little bit of an issue, and people are asking what we're doing. I know you've talked a lot today about the applications and the alerts and things, but can you talk a little bit about the bus bunching?
You're absolutely right. Bus bunching is a problem. One of the reasons it's a problem is that our buses are facing the same challenge that every car faces riding on our streets, congestion. And one of the reasons why projects like the BRT project that CDOT did with us for downtown and express service and other BRT projects that we're looking at is to find a way to allow our buses to move more faster and more reliable than they do now. There's no question that it's a great thing that there's a lot of construction and development occurring in the city. It obviously feeds the economic viability of the city itself. But it creates challenges for CTA that, as you can imagine, could be very interesting for a 40-foot bus trying to get down some of our roads. We're going to continue to work on that. We're having a lot of conversations with CDOT about how we can better coordinate our projects and our services in a way that allows us to allow our buses to move forward and move through faster. And we're also going to look at other ways in which we can provide ways for our buses to be able to avoid or deal with choke points that exist in many of our streets that add and contribute to the bunching problem that we see.
A lot of really great questions. That was from Ashvin Ladd, by the way. So this is the question that you handed me from Steve Schlickman. Steve, where are you? You're somewhere around here. Okay. Your infrastructure data depository, while Congress passed the FAST Act last year, it wasn't enough. What is your perspective on Congress doing more for transportation infrastructure?
Somebody's going to make me put my DOT hat on again. You're right. The FAST Act was more of a kick-the-can solution. We really need a long-term, stable funding source for transportation infrastructure at both the federal and at the state level. I think that there are a number of ways in which the federal government can achieve that. I'm optimistic that there will be opportunities for those conversations to move forward. But I think until they deal with the bigger issue of the Highway Trust Fund and the overall funding for transportation infrastructure, not just for transit, but for roads and bridges as well, we're going to continue to have these starts and stops in terms of our funding process, which doesn't do us any good when you're trying to get to a state of good repair.
So these are great questions. Jay, he already has to come back because we can't get to all of these. Graham Grady asks, Graham, I saw you walk in the door. Over there. How much have rideshare companies, Uber, Lyft, et cetera, impacted CTA ridership?
Well, as I indicated, we're in a new environment now with Uber and Lyft and the rideshare companies, and we are seeing it have an impact on our ridership. Particularly in what would be early morning, late night service. I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons why we have to become much more flexible and adaptable in terms of figuring out strategies to support the needs of our customers. Clearly, I don't see Uber and Lyft going anywhere in the near future. It's certainly a big part of our choice in transportation. But it also has an impact that isn't necessarily positive for the urban environment that we operate in. Congestion, air quality, other things, which have always been sort of the focal point of why transit has been a positive for the community, isn't necessarily achieved when you're still running around in cars. And certainly that impacts the ability of CTA to operate as efficiently as we would like to. So we're going to continue to work at new strategies that we can develop that can allow us to both promote and really highlight the benefit of transit, focusing on more ways to get our customers to take more rides, focusing on monthly passes and things of that nature that can ultimately support higher trips for a set fee. And I think there's a lot of growth opportunity in there that we have yet to tap into that I think ultimately will help us in terms of dealing with the ridership challenges that we're facing in that regard.
Okay, I'm going to try to combine a couple of questions for time's sake. Mike Sutherland, are you here, Mike? So I'm starting something new. If you ask a question, you're not here, I don't ask it. I just made that up. Mike Sutherland and Tom McElroy? Okay. So the question is kind of combined here. One is about, are you going to do something about bike cars for all the bikes that we have, you know, coming on with Divvy, et cetera? Well, not Divvy, but other bikes, commuter bike passenger congestion. And Thomas's question is about the CTA. Are there any plans for Stony Island and 63rd Street to accommodate for the Obama Library construction?
On the bike question, I think that obviously CDOT has been very active in creating more dedicated bike lanes and working closely with CTA to coordinate that service with our service, and obviously, you know, you don't want bikes and buses to intersect. That's never going to be a good situation. And so I think that there are a lot, you know, bigger plans in terms of complete streets and other things that are intended to help address the congestion and the challenges that we face to have both bus transit and bicycles operate in the same corridor. With regards to the Obama Library, it's too early to say yet what we're going to want to do or need to do there. As you know, the library just got announced a few months ago. I certainly expect that there will be opportunities to look at ways in which CTA service can help supplement and support the library going forward. We do have a station that I mentioned earlier that we're going to be making improvements to at 55th and Garfield that is not far away from the location for the library itself. And as those plans start to develop, we'll be working closely with the city and with the library officials to determine what CTA service should be modified or supplemented to support it.
John Trotta says, if a state capital bill passes, what impact would it have on the current capital program?
Huge. as I indicated during my presentation, we haven't had a capital program since 2009. The need to really get a new capital program in place is critical, not only for the ongoing state of good repair needs that the CTA has to deal with, but also for us to be competitive for the billions of dollars in federal funds that are available to cities like Chicago, but that require a non-federal match in order to be able to secure them. I think that we're blessed, not only with me, but with a number of people who are now here in Chicago that have a lot of experience in getting federal dollars for transportation. And I think Chicago is well positioned to take advantage of that experience and skill, but it doesn't mean anything if I don't have a non-federal funding source to pay for it all. And so I think it's going to become more and more a part of the conversation as we move forward to really put some program in place. And by program, I mean, once again, as I said, at the federal level. At the state level, we need a long-term, reliable, stable funding source to support transportation investments, so that we can go out here and be competitive with states like New York and California and other areas of the country that are making those types of commitments and as a result are going to the front of the line for a lot of the discretionary federal dollars that are available for transportation projects around the country.
Mr. Sims, you think you can work on that when you guys get back down to Springfield? Okay, as long as it's up there. I knew you were going to ask him that. So, Nicole Wilson, are you here?
For the record, he's done okay by us. He got me a tip. I'm not complaining.
That's right. I should say the tip goes credit to Representative Sims. Nicole Wilson, are you here? Oh, okay. You see her way back there. Big Shoulders Fund. Any plans for an express train from the Loop to O'Hare or Midway?
Is Ginger Evans still here? Okay. There is work that is continuing to be developed around that concept, particularly to O'Hare. It's actually being led by the Aviation Department, which is why I was asking if the commissioner was still here, with support from CDOT and CTA as it goes forward. But yes, the mayor has made it very clear that he is still very interested in developing some sort of high-speed premium service rail to the airport, and obviously we'll be supporting that effort in any way that we can.
This is why we live in the greatest city. We've got folks like Mr. Carter heading up CTA, and we've got Senator Dillard doing what he's doing at RTA, and Terry Peterson, and all the great people who are working on our transportation system. And I think all this shiny new stuff that we're going to be working on, new buses, new trains, is going to make us all be CTA riders or Metro riders, those who are not, right? The answer was supposed to be yes. Okay.